Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for your weekly podcast of pure delight. True stories, weird stories, amazing stories, adventure stories, sometimes hard to believe stories, but wild, amazing stories all around, all the same, told by the people who experience them every week. As we drop this in your ear holes, we being me, Adam Beebe, one of your co-hosts, your host, and the other more handsome, more diligent, well-rounded, actually, I'm more round than you are, co-host, the smiling sensei, Barry Johnston. Hello, my old dear friend. How are you, sir?
I am, I'm tired.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, and all of the above. It's been crazy, man. It's been
you've been moving house.
Yes.
From state to a whole other state.
Yes, and back and forth and back and forth. This is now my third trip up here in the last week. So, just a lot going on, man. And just like all the thing, like as overwhelming as moving can be, when you go to a different state, all those things that come along with that, like the stuff that you don't really think about until you kind of need it, just sort of happens. And then, on top of all that, we've got a missing cat that decided, she decided to, get scared and run away as we're loading the car up. So it's been my mission now for the last couple of trips up here to try to find her. It's just been crazy, man. It's been crazy. I have been just constantly on the move, man. Literally and figuratively. It's crazy. It's overwhelming. But we love the place that we got. It's cool, man. We live in just outside of Dallas and Fort Worth in an area that is, it's pretty nice. I was a little bit worried about how congested things would be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's congested, but like at the same time, it's a little bit spread out. And, we're able to, this last weekend, we were able to explore a little bit with each other, my wife and I, and just,
in the area, not you guys been married.
For yeah. Well, we've done all the exploring that.
I don't know. Well,
not all.
I don't know your checklist or anything of everything. Well, if there's any, areas that haven't been explored or whatnot. And, I certainly wouldn't discuss it. I wouldn't bring it up to be discussed on the podcast. Feel free to, as you will. I know you fear your wife as well, so so the area around.
Yeah, so the area, yeah, the area around. Yeah, yeah, we've done some exploring. We did, we've eaten some great food, which is awesome. It's nice to be back in civilization.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see the movie Twister last night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I was actually shocked. I wasn't expecting much. And although it was, total Hollywood, when they're doing a story that's about you and about your life, you see
what's happening in your backyard.
Yeah. They take that, that ball and they run with it. And it's a little over the top, but at the same time, I thought they did a really good, it's kind of a love story to Oklahoma. And I kind of got me teary eyed a little bit here and there, just because it's like, the move and then, just how much we love our home. And they did a good job depicting the characters and not making us look like idiots.
Which is always nice.
Yeah, just the right amount of Southern twang. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Not over the top. But yeah, it was nice, man. It was. We really enjoyed it, man. So, how are things with you, man?
Pretty good, man. I'm just trucking along, you know. Nothing really exceptional happened. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I did. Last weekend, I went to Dayton, one of our favorite places, to a small, comic book, little comic book convention. Ooh. There. And, you know, it was real small, so I was there for a little bit. So when I was done at the convention, I decided that I wanted to kind of explore the area a little bit.
Yep.
To places I hadn't been just yet. And so I went to this town probably about, I think it was like about 30 minutes west.
Okay.
Of Dayton, because I've been in west and north, because I've been all of southern area of Dayton with work. I've been all over that. Yep. But I haven't been over there. So it was just off of just past the Indiana state line.
Okay.
It is a little college town. So I went down there, and there I found a comic shop and a record store, and I ate some tacos, really good tacos.
Nice.
And oh man, they I asked for the hot sauce, and it was homemade. Hot. Boy, it was hot. Yeah, dude. It was hot. Like, you know.
Yeah, palatable or.
Yeah. But like, I was certainly not like expecting it, because, you know, usually when the gringos ask, they give you they'll give you the middle one, and you don't have to be like, no, you don't have to be, you know, you have to be like, yeah, you know, give me the,
you know, the real stuff.
But they gave me this stuff. I would have actually probably, I would have liked the middle, because usually that's like a tomatilla, you know, it's a verde.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm done there, and I went to, drive by, find this comic book shop and a record store, and I was like, oh man, I really had to use the restroom. And I was like, well, I passed the McDonald's there, so I'll go to the McDonald's, because, you know, usually little shops like that, they don't let people use a restroom. And so as I'm dying in agony to get to the McDonald's to use the restroom, I'm taking the path that the maps has told me, and I drive by what appears to me to be the actual original real Bluesmobile from the Blues Brothers movies.
Oh, wow.
Just parked.
Wow.
Behind a bar.
Wow. That's awesome.
I was like, I had to do a double take.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it, and I'm like, dude, it was like beat up in the right places. They had the giant, you know, the horn or you know, the amplifying megaphone on top.
Yeah.
And everything, dude. It looked like it was the... If it wasn't the real one, it was an amazing, immaculate recreation.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That is awesome, man. That's so cool to see shit like that in the wild. I remember I was in London once, and I saw the car from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild, man. That's cool, dude. So did you buy anything good?
I found a couple of things just to read. I haven't cracked into them just yet. So we'll find out, but cool. Yeah, it was just, you know, it wasn't a huge thing, but I didn't have a huge budget anyway, so that was good. I played under my budget, and which was why I was like, well, you know, I'll go look around and explore. So
it's fun just to get out. It's fun just to get out, and, you know, and be able to be around like-minded people. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, speaking of like-minded people and interesting stories, we got one for you today, and it is... this one took twists and turns that I was not expecting, for sure.
Yes. Today's guest, Jeff, he's a comedian, and he is a storyteller, as you'll find out. And, like, the stories, they're epics. And, like... I would put him in the category of with our buddy Sam, as far as stories that are just almost like Yeah, there just a lot of holy cows, just yes. a lot of like, oh my God, just, you know,
adventures.
Crazy things, yes. adventure and misadventure.
Yeah.
And just, and all done with, you know, a smile on their face the right. whole time. So yeah. that, maybe they were consuming things, who knows, but nonetheless, joining us from Philly is Jeff. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. What's your weird story?
Yes. So this is a story about how lightning changed my life.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
With a little help from some angels along the way.
Okay.
Let me explain.
Okay.
So I was married, living out in the suburbs for about a 10-year run. I was doing masonry and working regular fucking Joe Schmo life, you know. I was a musician.
Okay.
Always did rock star life and party hard and yep. Have fun.
Nice.
And so throughout this marriage, I'd gone down some different dark and windy roads, some colorful, beautiful roads. And so, you know, we were together for a long time. Now, right at the beginning of COVID, everything was kind of comfortable. Now, if you're long in a relationship for long enough, every little thing that your partner does, like reach into the bag of potato and chips, you're like, really? You have to hit you.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But yeah. other than the yeah. usual shit, it was a normal marriage, you know? So right before COVID, early COVID, Christmas Eve of, like, the beginning of COVID, so everybody's scared of what the hell's going to happen and all that kind of shit. The news is going nuts. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and nothing like waiting until the last minute on Christmas Eve. So I'm outside putting up Christmas lights.
Yep.
And she came home from work about 2, and it got pitch black outside in Philadelphia, out in the suburbs, and something's going on. So I said, let's go inside. And she had gone down into the basement of the house, and I'm looking out the back door. And all, and it being as dark as it was, clouds or something were coming in. I didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, it went, ba-boom! The whole house shook. The garage caught on fire.
Oh, my God.
The basement caught on fire. And an old, like, 14-year-old bulldog wagging its tail. That looks all smoky. I didn't know what happened.
Holy
all the drives
shit.
Exploded. Fucking every plastic piece of electronics just flew across the room. It was crazy.
Whoa.
I'm jumping up inside. I'm just jumping, screaming. I thought we got hit by like a nuclear attack. Remember how crazy
yeah.
the world was?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and I mean, the house like exploded.
Holy
and,
shit.
So what happened was I got hit there by a direct bolt of lightning. A storm came over the house really, really low. And directly hit the house with lightning. It went from my sand mount septic, like the electric cord going out to that, to the neighbor's electric dog fence, who has a huge propane tank above ground for the heating and cooling or whatever. And it exploded that.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that shook the world, you know.
How big was that tank? How big was the tank?
It was one of the giant houses.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Whoa, man.
Now, I didn't know. I'm just screaming still. I didn't know what happened. Like I said, I kind of had a feeling maybe we got, like, nuclear hit. I didn't know what the fuck happened. Well, she comes up from the basement, which was on fire, and I'm just jumping up and down. Everything's pitch black, no power, no septic, no water, nothing. And she goes, I take this as a sign from above that I want to tell you, I've been having an affair for 6 months.
No, wait a minute, yeah. man. Holy shit.
Now, at this time, I didn't know what to do. My neighbor is like a cartoon character, bald, meathead kind of guy. He's just jumping up and down. My windows are like a little overhead. He was checking to see if people were alive. He's just jumping up and down. I'm like, what? Get out! I was screaming, get the hell out of there. I didn't know what to do. You know?
Oh, my
all
God.
All the cops, fire departments, 6 different fire departments. I got weed growing in the fucking house.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I know.
Oh, my God. Wow, dude.
So here I am. Figure out what the hell is going on. Got her out of the fucking house. Now I'm out here. I finally, no, it's COVID. Nobody knows how bad this virus is.
Right.
So nobody's coming in the house. Everybody's worried about his shit out there, and they're walking around with meters and shit because of the gas and everything else.
Oh, my God.
No, insurance wants to come to the house because it's the beginning of COVID. They didn't know what to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I, like, went into monk mode. Like, doing the masonry, I would get up. It's cold as fuck here in the winter in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, next day was Christmas, and I'm like, you know, Frank the Tank showing up to family Christmas. Like, Jeff, you look hammered. Of course I'm hammered! She was at an affair for 6 fucking months, you know?
Whole, dude, your fucking world just blew up twice, man.
Literally.
Holy shit, man. That is...
Your bomb dropped on you.
No shit.
So, yeah.
You're right, right?
Yeah. That is, like, a lot to take in, man. Like, okay, like... Okay, so house explodes, and then what? Are you two together? Like, are you staying with each other? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. I had got the house prior to the marriage.
Okay.
So I felt like I had no control over anything. The house exploded, her fucking having an affair. So the only thing I had was, get out! And I guess, I don't know, it worked. I don't know if it's legal. But she got the hell out and stayed. She was probably happy to get out. She was having an affair for 6 months. So,
yeah.
Like any man, you kind of want to know who was what the fuck was going on. And you kind of think in your back of your mind, you know, she was acting a little weird here. Or spend more time. What the hell was she doing in the basement, you know?
Right, right.
So, now I'm starting to do that kind of brainstorming and thinking, she has been into the really into the conspiracies, because this is the time that all the conspiracies came to light, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Popular, yeah.
Right.
And I wake up at like 4 in the morning, go outside. I'm chopping wood out there to heat the house.
Holy shit.
There's a lake down the street. I'm doing push. I haven't worked out my whole fucking life. I'm down there. I can only change myself, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
First couple of weeks, I probably lost like 40 pounds, and it felt good working crazy on scaffolding, mixing cement and laying block and stone all day. And then I would party like a rock star, hang out with friends. We did like a men's night and shit at the house. Until now, you know, I kind of wanted to know what was going on with her and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it turns out that, to bring it back to the conspiracy and all that, remember right after that Christmas, January 6th, the Capitol building episode?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She left for the fucking horn guy. That was the guy she was.
Are you serious, man? Holy shit, dude. Uh-huh. This is a wild fucking story, bro.
Oh my god,
bro.
Dude. That dude. Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god, dude. I'm blown. I'm sorry for you, because that guy is.
Wow. Yeah. That is. Man, there's a lot of layers to this cake, dude. Holy shit. Okay. Holy shit.
Now, I just go into like drunk Jeff mode at this point. I look halfway normal human being, lost all this fucking weight, single for the first time in like over a decade, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So friends ask me to go with them down south to the beach. And I'm like, yeah, anything, let's get away, let's go have a good time. So we're partying, and it's like a neighborhood type dive bar that we're in. And we've made friends with the DJ. We're drinking heavily, like I had been pretty much every day after all this, you know?
Yeah, yeah, understandably.
And there might have been mushrooms involved. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got my buddy Biggie's there. And so we all, Biggie meets these girls, and they have a house that's on the water. So we end up going with these girls back to the dock where they live. Or staying, I guess. I don't remember.
Yeah.
One girl giving me a massage. I got like a foot in the water. And I wake up now after partying all fucking night and on vacation, probably no sleep and everything else. End up quitting the job as a masonry at doing the masonry.
Oh.
And so I go inside now. I wake up, nobody's around. I'm like, those assholes left me out here. I could have fucking rolled over and drowned. So I go inside. It's like a sliding glass door, and I go inside, and I'm looking through the fridge, late night snack, and I don't see much. So I figure I'll make a sandwich. They got Tang. I'm like, when's the last time you had Tang?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, man.
I can't find glasses, so I'm just drinking out of the fucking thing, you know? I make a sandwich. They got Miracle Whip. I'm like, who uses Miracle Whip? Weird. So I was all, it was hot as shit out there. So I got no shirt on. I look, I got the dreads down, dreadlocks down. So I look like fucking Captain Caveman. And I made a half a sandwich on my chest, a gallon of Tang, and I doze off on a little love seat. I don't think Willow could have slept comfortably on, you know?
Oh my
and
God.
And now I get, and again, like I said, I've been pretty much partying and rock starring it for a hot minute. I get woken up. Somebody's like stealing the pillow out of my head or something under my head. I didn't know what they were doing. I thought they said make a bed on the floor. So now I get onto the floor again. I fucking got sandwich and Tang. I move that out of the way. Wipe Miracle Whip from my mouth. Now I'm surrounded when I wake up like I'm an alien by a whole group of people that I never seen before poking at me. Who are you? Who are you? Get out!
Oh my God, dude.
You know, I'm just trying to catch my breath. I'm like, wait, what? What the hell's going on? You know, somebody grabs my half a sandwich. I'm like, give me that, you know? So they're lined up the fucking stairway like the Brady Bunch.
Oh my God.
The whole family. I'm in the wrong house. I can clearly
tell. Oh my
God,
dude. Oh, it's great.
No biggie. Biggie was young girl on the stairway with all these like clean cut mad adults. They're clearly mad.
Yeah.
Every cabinet in their rental house probably open, you know, shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's one young girl, and I was like, I figured maybe she was one of the chicks, so I'm looking at her. I was like, on the stairway, I know you. I know you. Well, here it turns out she was the nanny for the house.
Oh.
And so that she went out partying the night before. They were like, you can tell us. You can tell us. Did you bring him home? Just tell us the truth, you know?
Oh, my
God. I never fucking met her the day in my life, but I took that as a sign for me to go, you know? And I went out and I looked next door and I could see Biggie's like flip flops on the neighbor's front porch. I'm like, oh man, I just kept walking. I didn't say anything, no shirt. I left everything behind.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. That is fantastic, man.
So I get back home and every day I'm like a hot mess. I'm always, every night's a new fucking story or something, you know? So now it's early COVID, like I said, so there's no dating. Everything's right. Online. I've never done a dating app because I was married when that shit came out.
Yeah.
So I Tinder it up, and I go to meet this girl. She looks like a fucking ninja because you got to have your masks on and everything.
Right,
on.
Right.
And so we ended up, and I don't know, it's probably me. I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I start dating the first fucking person I meet, you know.
Yeah.
And I said to her, you know, this comedy is something that I always wanted to try. Thought about it a lot, and, you know, I would love to do that. And so Christmas comes along, and she said, I got you a class for comedy for Christmas. So when I went, now it was like Eagle season, Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. Yeah.
And all these bars are in walking distance down in the city. So I'm pretty much stopping into everyone, doing drinks, and get to this comedy class. Here it's a master studio with comics that are 25 years deep or more, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow.
This is serious.
And me coming in hot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
making a good first impression.
I learned a lot. I took it really, really serious. And some of these guys just put me under their wing. I met some of the best friends in the world. I got to start over, totally start over, get a great new group of friends.
Wow.
Never looked back. That girl that got me the class, you know, whether it worked out, didn't work out, but definitely one of the many angels that kind of touch you along the fairies along your way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I took it serious. I got so much opportunity with doing sketch writing and acting and stand up all the time.
Wow. Yeah. Now, how far, like from the house blowing up to that transitioning, how long of a period? Like a year or two? Was that the
about
next?
About a year.
Wow, that's a lot of change and a lot of. So I can
had painters and drywallers and all that shit, dude. Because out here, I had my own septic and my own well, so there's no water, no power, no nothing. God. Everybody that came over was like, "You have more." Every electrician was like, "You have more experience with this than me." Like, you know, I've been lightning, but I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Totally electrically, enhanced and charged from that.
That's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. What a crazy, crazy ass story. So I can imagine, do you tell that story on stage?
I haven't yet.
Dude, you've got to tell that fucking story.
And my ex-wife said the horn guy turned out to be crazy.
You don't say. Oh, that's hilarious. So they're broke up now. God, they're no longer.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Wow. Dude.
Very surprised.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. What a fucking...
Yeah, I haven't done this story
Oh,
yet.
Dude, that's going to kill, man. That's going to fucking kill, dude. That's a one-of-a-kind story right there, man.
Because everybody knows the horn guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And you don't have to know his name. You just have to say horn guy.
Absolutely.
Calling himself the American shaman, patriot shaman or something.
Yeah. Wow.
He's like Doug from the Midwest is what he is, you know?
No, we had a lot of that, as popular as it got. That was a lot of wasted opportunity. He went to jail or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Done something podcast or been like the fucking Liver King or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when he went to jail, I remember on the news how his mother was complaining to the media about how he couldn't get vegan meals. And, you know, he was being mistreated because he was a vegan. And, and I want to say something there was something about he needed special underwear or some kind of underwear. I could be making that up. I don't know. But
amazing.
Yeah. Fucking.
Oh, my God.
That's America today.
Yeah. Right. So do you keep in touch with your ex?
So I had her dad died, and so she asked me to go. Maybe you could do the eulogy since you're now doing comedy and all that. So I went to the funeral, and she wanted to, before that, go to her house. She kind of wanted to work it out, that depressing, makeup and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't fall for it.
Good.
I didn't get it out. Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Man. How long were you together, in total?
Maybe 12 years or so.
Yeah,
but she stuck with me. I was pretty wild when I was young.
Right. Yeah, but still, that sucks, man. You know.
I know.
But I mean,
a new girl now. And
great.
She's like the dark angel.
Okay.
I don't get much sleep. She might sell coke. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
That's funny. That's great.
But so we went to a concert just on Sunday, a couple 2 to 3 days ago or whatever. And we're in there, and here comes my ex-wife standing behind us as we're dancing, smooching, new girlfriend shit. You know?
Oh, wow.
And that was really awkward. Yeah, she wanted to talk, cry, all that kind of shit.
Wow. Damn. Well, hey. You ended up in a good spot, and
That's it. Yeah, the universe works interestingly. I was really beat up from this.
I could imagine, man. Not that I got married, but I was with somebody for quite a long time, and there were things that were done that I didn't know about, and I found out after the fact, and that's a hard pill to swallow, man. You know, when you're living with someone, especially, and you're sharing. Really? That space, That's tough, man. I know every guy that I've ever known that has gone through something like that, it's life-changing. Because every relationship that you enter into after that bears the brunt of what you went through. And as hard as you try to not lay that burden on someone else, it's just, it's inevitable. You're going to do it. And it's hard to get over that, man. It's so hard to get over that. But,
Well, that's because those are scars that are deep.
Yeah.
You know, those cuts are deep because it's trust, it's emotional betrayal, it's all of that stuff where you're exposing yourself and you're making yourself most raw to your partner.
Right.
Whenever, you know, and as men especially, you know, it's more of the I'm lowering of all your shields and everything.
Yeah.
You know, that society makes us to be men. We have to be like this, you know. But when something like that happens, it is very much, just earth-shattering. Really is. It's a nuclear bomb. It can be. Now, not always. You know, sometimes maybe it's a relief. Maybe it's like, oh, great, now I can get out of this because I was trying to find a way or something. I don't know.
Right.
But not. I would say that's an exception to the rule. I think generally most people, not, you know, and not just men, of course, but most people having that kind of, you know, betrayal, that kind of,
yeah, it's tough.
Hurt is that's tough, and that's those are deep, deep cuts that take long, long, long time to heal. And like Barry said, you know, even when you're ready, you think you're ready to move on and start dating other people, you're still going to be carrying that for a while. So
yeah.
How magical is it that like if you do you and you don't do wrong shit, the universe will tell you if crazy shit's going on.
Amazing,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
A lot of that comes with age, I think. You know, like, for better or worse, I think you can kind of get stuck in that mode of like, I'm just going to make it work. I'm just going to make it work, you know, until the universe comes crashing down on you, literally. And all these things come to light. You know, I think it's kind of funny in the analogy of that story, because like I have a friend of mine and we have the same sort of attitude when it comes to life. And we're kind of the kind of people that God has to come in, or whatever you want to call it, has to come in and say, it's undeniable that this isn't working anymore because it doesn't exist. I just exploded it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to be.
I heard her eating potato chips.
Yeah. That part of the story. So did that girl that it was in the house, you partied with her the night before? Did you know her from the night before, or was she just the nanny lady or whoever? Oh, okay.
Never seen her at the nanny.
Okay. Okay. All right. I needed some clarity on that. Oh my God. That is so fucking funny, man. Do you know how long you were down there, passed out at all?
How long?
Hours? Yeah, hours.
Yeah, definitely 5 hours drinking out
of
the container.
Oh my god! Oh, that's so great! Oh my god! Oh, that is classic, man. That is so classic. I mean, I've stepped into someone else's car a couple of times, you know, and like I think one time somebody was in there, but like I've never done anything like that, man.
No.
I've never heard of anybody doing that. It's just so great.
Get this. We call it what's your weird story, right? But we don't limit it to weird stories. It's true. Sometimes we have crazy travel and epic adventure stories. Sometimes we do book reports and other special episodes. Sometimes we'll cover some weird news. Sometimes I'll see one of my oldest, dearest friends just dancing around and punching the air for 5 minutes before we sit down and record an episode. But hey, it's all good because it's fun to talk to people, to make new friends, to get in touch and reacquainted with old friends and hear amazing stories.
man. Oh. I got a lot of stories. I got some good ones here. You can save for another time.
Yeah, no, dude, lay a couple on us, man. If you got time, man, lay a couple on us, man.
So this one goes to, like, you never really know who you're talking to. And so a few years back, I was in Hawaii with a girlfriend, and we were on the big island of Hawaii. We flew to Oahu, and boyfriend, girlfriend, let's go out there for like 3 months or something, and backpacking along, staying on beaches and all.
Nice.
So we go from Oahu to the big island, and we stay like a couple nights on one beach and go to another, and we end up on Volcanoes National Park. And to get there, you know, we had a rental car.
Okay.
So once we get to the park, this is before, like, I guess I, and then, you know, it's still live lava flow and all, but I heard you can't walk wherever the hell you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
But back when I was there, you could. And I'm wearing like Birkenstocks and cargo shorts because that was old, you know, it's what we were back in the day.
Right, right.
My shoes are like melted off just because it's so fucking hot on the dark lava.
Damn.
And we start arguing over some shit about something. I don't even remember, you know, the most stupid shit. She was probably eating potato chips, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? You go your way and I'll go mine. I'll see you back at the airport in 3 months and we'll go back to Philadelphia, you get your shit, and I'll give them, you know, that, it got that bad.
Okay.
Right at that time, and it was getting late in the day, it was like, ba-boom, another fucking lightning storm. Ba-boom!
Oh, fuck.
The world, and, you know, we're on this island out on, like, lava, literally on all lava, dry lava, which is the sharpest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And, so it starts raining like raindrops I've never seen before. It's hailing like the size of like a snowball and just pouring, like dumping water.
Oh.
And it's hot out there. But it was like the most crazy terrain all of a sudden. So she leaves in the rental car and leaves me there. I don't even remember which way we got, but we drove.
Oh, my God. Know?
So now I got my like camping backpack on, my Birkenstock brakes. I got one flip-flop.
Oh, fuck.
I tie like my t-shirt around my foot, you know, I'm bleeding, I'm sore, and it's raining so terribly bad, and I'm just walking into the distance. There's no cars, no nothing in sight. Eventually, at late, like, this is after I just gave up on the world, you start to get a little loopy and crazy. You're like, you know, you're laughing and singing in the So I find like an Airbnb, and I spent the night there, and in their little book collection, the people were like so shocked to see me, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, what the hell? Thought I was a ghost. They had this book called Lonely Planet Travel Guide. Have you ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
It's like for hippies by hippies almost.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's like it's a series. Excuse me. It's a book series and also a they did a television series. But it's basically it's about traveling like either by yourself or like with just two people. It's like very, you know, and kind of doing it on your own.
Okay.
Without too much of, you know, going through tourist traps and stuff like that. It's about how to, places to see, things you can do on your own, how to survive, how to fit in, and all of, and like, you know, become as part of much of the culture you can.
Nice.
Which was magical, one of those magical moments in life that I even stumbled upon it, that had I never even heard of Lonely Planet or whatever, and I just picked it up, and it was all the big islands, so it's just, even though it's the big island, it's still pretty fucking small.
Right,
and,
right.
And so in the morning, it's still raining like I've never seen ever before. And so I had to get out of there either way at the Airbnb. And I got 3 months and nothing to do. So I look in the Lonely Planet, and there's this town called, I'll think of it in a minute. I'll think of it in a minute. Pekoa.
Okay.
And it's down in like the southern, I guess, part of that island. And so it says that, you know, it's a cowboy town. There's a lot of people on this drug called ice, which is like crystal meth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heard a lot about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So be careful is what it says. But it's got like the best weed and it's really cool. And it says, you know, here's this address. If you cut through this dude's backyard, you'll find the natural green quartz beach where just all of that came green quartz. Wow. It's so neat. Yep. And then it says another dude's address that's cool with it. Cut through his yard. You can camp there. It's all black sand and all this stuff. And so it gives this dude's name that has a bunch of Volkswagen like buses for camping at on his property.
Okay.
And that's where you should stay. It recommends that. So now I go out in the fucking pouring rain with this book, my backpack, and start hitchhiking, you know. And some dude picks me up. I jump in the back of his pickup truck, which is like a pool because it's just raining so much.
Right, yeah.
And I get down to that town, and it's still early in the morning. And just like the book said, there's one payphone, and there's crackheads at the payphone, like fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything looked closed. There was like one little Mexican place. It was early in the morning. So I get out of the truck and I go into this Mexican place. And it's just me. It's open. And it's a bar, Mexican restaurant. And the bartender and one homeless guy, clearly homeless, in the bar. And the bartender, and not that I have any feelings for or against, I'm all in. Everybody's human is love. And I'm open to gay, but this gay bartender's like putting his hand on mine and hitting on me right when I got in.
Yeah.
Richard comes around the bar holding my back. He likes my cargo shorts.
Okay. All right. It's a little much.
I got one flip flop, one Birkenstock on, a t-shirt around my other foot.
You're still hot. You're still hot, even in shambles.
So I'm buying the homeless dude beers, so I'm just not alone in there, you know. He's my girl. My new girlfriend is this dude over there, you know. Yeah. So I'm not the only. So now we're in Hawaii. There's avocados growing everywhere. Mexican bar, they can get chips and salsa, just like anything else, every other one. And so I'm like, yeah, I get a side of guacamole. They're selling it on the menu, and they're, like I said, avocados everywhere. So right around that time, the bar, I can hear in the pouring rain out there, the motorcycles driving in it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on out there? This is crazy weather. This is rain like buckets coming down nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So they pull up to the bar, kick open the bar door. One dude's got a patch on his eye, all this leather. Here I am, like, you know, no shirt, just a t-shirt on one foot. Cargo shirt. They skip a stool and sit right next to me. And I can tell they're picking on me. You know, you play guitar, don't you? And they're trying to, like, start a little aggression.
Yeah.
They're locals. So they get their house beer, they get their beer, and the bartender gives it to them, and I can see the one dude drinking his beer, and he threw up back in his fucking beer. Now it's 10 in the morning at this time. Ugh. Threw up in it, and I could see it next to me, and he drank it after that.
Oh, shit, man.
Hardcore.
Yeah, dude. No kidding.
So all of a sudden, my guacamole comes. And, you know, so graciously from our bartender. And the dude with the patch on his eyes thrown up in his beer reaches over with his hand and grabs my whole, like, order of guac and just eats it or whatever. Like, they were trying to be aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a call on my cell phone. I had one friend that lived on the island, and he randomly called at that time, another angel-type move. And I said, yo, dude, this is where I'm at. He's like, I'm actually on my way to work. I got your message that you're on the Big Island. Love to get together. I'm leaving the island. I got to go to work. I'm on my way to the airport. Listen, I got some really good weed that I can't fly with. I'm going to leave it in my car. You need weed? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm fucking on vacation. So he's got this shit called Elvis. So I go out, pouring rain. I thought these guys were going to fight anyway. I had to dip, you know, sick of buying this dude beers, getting hit on and almost beat up.
Yeah.
So I go out in the pouring rain and smoke some Elvis with my buddy. And he's like, dude, I feel so bad, but there's nothing open at this time of day. I'm just going to drop you back off after we smoke. So I get dropped back off, and here those dudes are out front of the bar on their motorcycles. There's a little teeny motorcycle park underneath that isn't wet. So I'm like, fuck it. I got nothing to lose. Broke up with my girl. Here for a while. I'm all in. See what these guys, I don't care. I didn't do anything. I'm going in, and I'll just have another beer. I'll wait, see what happens next. So I call that dude from my friend's car that said the Volkswagens, because the number was in the Lonely Planet.
Yeah.
And he answers and he says, hey, listen, I don't have any spots because of this weather, but I have a friend named Mojo, and I don't have his number.
Okay.
The Verizon 411. I'm on the big island of Hawaii. Mojo? They're like, what? I need Mojo?
Sure enough,
I get this dude's number.
Wow.
And he is like an envisionary Arab kid guy that changed his name, moved there. He wanted to start some like naked fucking hangout thing, but it didn't get that far yet, luckily. It was a huge crater on his property, okay, which is like where there was a volcano, you know?
Oh,
it was down miles, and down when you look down, there's like goats and birds and shit, and the tops of palm trees. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Macadamia nut trees.
Wow.
It was neat. So I get Mojo's, and he's like, dude, I got a barn. Everybody's putting tents in the barn. Come whenever you want, you know, total like free spirit. Now, I don't even know his fucking address or nothing. He hangs up. I'm like, oh, shit. So I get out of my buddy's car, and here are these bikers. So I walk up, and they're like, hey, man, listen, when you left, the homeless guy said that, you know, you broke up with your girlfriend and you were feeling the blues. Let me hear what you got to play. So they whip out this little, like, three-quarter guitar, and I'm like playing for my fucking life, basically.
Oh, what did you decide to play in that moment, man? Were you just riffing?
I'm hit this one guy. The guy with the patch on his eye can probably punch from the left. You won't see it coming.
Oh, shit, man.
So I did. I was like fucking playing for my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were like, yeah, man, we smell really good. We do you smoke? And I was like, I got the king. I got Elvis. So I smoked with those guys. I told them how, you know, and they ended up laughing. They loved me. I was like, I thought you guys wanted to fight.
Wow.
There was the bartender. I'm buying the hunt. I told them the whole story. You know, the homeless guy.
Yeah.
You guys came in. He's throwing up in his fucking beard, a patch, the whole nine. Like guacamole. So I bring them back in the bar, buy them a beer. Next thing you know, they know. I tell them I have nowhere to go. The whole nine yards. Now I go on the back of this motorcycle to they know Mojo because it's a small island.
Yeah.
So now I'm walking in the pouring rain with this total biker, patched eye, the whole nine yards in the rain, one flip flop, going to Mojo's on the back of this Harley. coming in hot once again. And so I go to Mojo's, and it's actually really cool. It was like a bunch of world people from all over the world that traveled, somehow got there. They were friends of a friend or a new Mojo. And I still didn't meet Mojo. He's like a legend, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
But people that know him come back. I went to the mainland. I went to Alaska, wherever country, wherever they're from. And they come back. So you can tell it's special. So now the sun comes up early, it goes down late at this time of year in Hawaii on the Big Island, and now it's still raining cats and dogs.
Yeah,
like nothing I've ever experienced ever in my life. So now I'm in the barn with people I never met. We're drinking wine, everybody's going to sleep because it's a long day.
Yeah,
you know, and it's so all of a sudden, my phone rings, and it's like, yo, dude, it's Mike and Steve. Yo, we're picking you up. Yeah, Mojo's, you were picking me up. And I was like, yeah, those dudes on the bikes. And I just got done saying, yeah, I came with this girl. It didn't work out. I'm kind of gross. sleeping. Yeah. So they were like, just go. So I'm like, all right, come pick me up. Now it's like 10:30, which is late because everybody's going to bed. Yeah, I was just about to fucking fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raining like I've never seen. Here comes a limo pickup truck with two fired up rednecks in it. I mean, hammered. Woo! Woo! They came in the majors, fired up, and I had. They were, dude, we recorded this after we saw you. And they put in this like heavy metal. These two dudes just rocking. And they're in the front of this limo. And I'm in the back seat. They're drinking Bush Pounders, throwing it in the back. You still got that Elvis? Woo! I was like, oh my God. Who the hell are these fucking dudes, you know?
Oh my God.
So I'm now on vacation. I don't know if you guys smoke weed or not, but usually, you know, nowadays it's glass and shit like that or a joint.
Yeah.
These guys got like a corncob pipe, like it's 1992.
Yeah. Yep. I've had many a corncobs. Yeah.
Literally the best weed I've ever smoked in my life. It deserves the name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
So we go now, we go to this town called Hilo, which is like an older town of the Big Island. It's the oldest. It's not very old, but I had heard of it, hadn't been there yet, but it's the most populated, which is probably about as many people in the town you live
in.
And we get to this place, and like I said, it's fucking pouring, and there's hundreds of motorcycles, and in the rain, lines of people waiting around in the rain. And I didn't know still who I'm with, Mike and Steve, you know, or whatever the names were. And they, I could tell there was probably somebody cool. I didn't know, maybe famous because of the limo. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm holding on for my fucking life. They're just drinking and driving, right, flying through the island. When we get to the back, we go around the back of the venue. And there are people, as soon as I get out, are asking me for my autograph. And I just kind of ignore them. So I knew at that point I'm with somebody famous or something.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
We go into the back of the place, and I start to figure it out in the like back room, the green room or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And that it's the two guys that survived the accident from Skinner.
Oh, shit, man.
Whoa!
I did, dude.
Holy shit, man.
So right when I figured it out from Philly, it's a 6-hour time difference. So I figured it out, say it's 10:30, 11 o'clock or whatever. You know, it's only 4 in the morning in Philly or whatever time it was.
Right, right.
But my dad's going to love this.
Yeah.
I got to call him. So he grabbed the phone. He's our son now, you know.
Oh, my God, man.
So I go out and I'm watching it with one of the fans from the front and watching these guys rip it up. And they called me up. Our son's here. I played the Beatles' Let It Blit Be with the guys.
Wow.
On stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was like a dream, you know, a dream night.
Oh, yeah, man.
Back to Mojo's.
Yeah, holy shit, man.
And they call every fucking half hour. We're going here. Do you want to come? We're doing this. I was like, well, I kind of got this girl on my mind. They're like, that's cool. Our friend has a Yogashiram. She's a yoga chick. We'll put her there. You're coming with us. So I got to hang out with them a few more times.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, you know, you really never know who you're talking to in any situation where I thought these guys were going to beat me up.
No,
you know?
Shit, here, man.
It became literally. So that year, the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl and lost. But it was in Jacksonville, Florida, which Skinner's from. So they did the halftime show right after I hung out with them. And they called me after the show. How about your Eagles now?
You know? Wow. Wow, man. That's
incredible.
That is amazing, man. Yeah. So
and one passed.
Huh?
I think one passed now. One of the two guys passed.
That's too good.
Was that just the? Was that a small band that they were playing in, or were they playing as Skinnerd?
So they have a house there. They were playing under a whole different name. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. It was something like Perfume or something. It was pretty cool.
Wow, man. Well, there are
a recording studio there.
Okay.
So what we do is, and did, you know, this has gone back a couple of years. So they wake up every morning, have drinks, cocktails, go out, party. They take a Vicodin and Viagra.
Okay.
And ecstasy.
Oh my, holy shit.
They get hammered, then go back to their house and record.
Wow.
Then they take naps.
Wow.
And then they go out for the night, probably play or whatever.
Wow, man. They're living it, dude. They're living it, man. Wow. Yeah,
man. That's...
That's amazing. Yeah, I don't think people really understand how small Hawaii is. It's small. And like you said, even the big island is pretty small. You can get around it, in like a few hours, right?
Yeah, it's 20 miles to drive around that, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not going 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it's not straight roads.
And there are a lot of people out there, artists out there that have studios and stuff that you don't, you know, people just don't know that they live out there. And then
it's a beautiful spot.
That's so amazing. What a crazy ass story, man.
Yeah.
That is incredible, man. That, what an opportunity too, you know, to meet guys like that, you know.
Absolutely.
They've lived such a amazing, colorful life, man, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, all of those, and I have so much respect for guys that have been in it for so long, but still love to do it. And it doesn't matter if it's the corner bar or we're playing a stadium somewhere, you know. I love it.
Yeah, that's
their lifestyle. It's just amazing.
I don't know how people work every day.
Yeah.
I don't do shit. I just write jokes and bullshit, and I'm fucking exhausted, and I'm getting pulled a million fucking directions.
Yeah. But
imagine
how
rock stars do it that are playing the halftime show at the Eagles.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. There's a level of... I don't know how you'd say it, a level of professionality that people that have been in that position for a long time have to have. They have to have a good sense of who they are and how they conduct their business and how they maintain longevity in a world that is ever changing. And, you know, anybody that can continue doing their art form, whatever that is, or, you know, the thing that drives you, whoever can... To me, that's who wins the game of life, you know, because I think that we place so much value on how much money people make in this country. And the truth of the matter is that if you follow your passion, you follow your bliss, those things, they may or may not come, but you're still doing what you love, you know, and that's what's important, you know.
And, you know, if you're in one art, and giving it hell and it doesn't break, don't give up in life, because it might not be that art. I'm a fine arts major and art history major, and had won awards for in recognition as the most professional artist around here and all this stuff, and in bands and music and all those things. And I didn't, at 43 is when I got involved in comedy, and I found my people, and I feel like I found my calling and gift. So to stick in it and around people that are creative and to be yourself and never, you know, never say, well, I'm not the best at this, because you might not have found your calling yet.
Right. And and to have that ability, I call it an ability, or to have the sense to try something new and have the willingness to fail at something. Like that's so important, I think, as we get older, is to continue to fail, because that's when you learn. And, it's so interesting because we all share a lot of the same stuff, and Adam is an artist. He's an amazing artist. And so we all have that creative brain, and you can't shut that off. And if you do, you die. You end up withering, you know.
Hang out around other creative people.
Yeah.
You know, the people that you are friends with will understand and will be proud of you when you grow and surround yourself with your circle.
Yep.
You know, you don't need to make bad terms with the people that weren't positive or growing.
Yeah.
Just move on and they'll be proud.
Sure.
Yeah.
How does that work in your comedy life? Because it's such a, just like music, you know, because it's very competitive. There's a lot of people vying for those spots and trying to develop themselves.
I created my little world, and like, I don't know if I'm delusional. Well, I know that, but
all good comics are to some degree.
You know, it's art. So right. Art, I think, is probably short for artificial. So make the shit up, right, and go with it, and it'll grow if you believe in it and work hard towards it like anything else.
Sure.
And it's very competitive in that whole world and all that. And I don't really – I have a friendly and make friends, and I love to network and to do my art and to see their art and just be positive. And if somebody does great, you know, I can't help but be like, that was awesome, great job, and supportive. And be yourself, and I think that that's the way of resistance towards any negativity.
That's great.
The competitivity, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you do a podcast or anything?
No, I'm starting to get involved with it now. This is new, and yeah, I'm getting ready to start one soon.
You know? Yeah, you should, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, and come back and tell us about it, you know, when you
do. Yeah, for sure, when you do, yeah.
I would love that, yeah. I got a lot of stories to share. Good to see you guys again. This is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this has been a blast, for sure.
It's been amazing, for sure. How can people get in touch with you? Are you playing anywhere soon? Or?
Yeah, so I'm in Philly's Funniest this summer. So July 16th is my next big show there. I'm headlining a festival called Look Around Festival. I'm emceeing. And then it's like a 24-hour gig.
Wow.
So it goes family-oriented to late night. You know, we can be as raunchy as we want. And that's in Westchester, Westchester, Pennsylvania, called Look Around Festival.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, a lot of shows coming up. I'm on YouTube, Jeff Lawson Comedy. Instagram is Jeffro Delph. You can probably look up Jeff Lawson. It's J-E-P-H-R-O-D-E-L-P-H with the Philly PH thing.
Yeah. Nice, man.
And then Facebook, Jeff Lawson, and I have a website, all that stuff. So yeah, you'll find me. I'm always doing stuff. Yeah,
that's great, man.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on, dude. What? Those are some crazy ass stories, man.
Yeah,
you guys are awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Great shit, man.
Yeah, man. That's just, and it's one of those things that goes to show that a lot in life. And this is a rule in comedy, I know, but it's yes and, you know, you just go along with
right.
it, you know,
yeah,
you're
go
like,
with the flow.
You know, it's like, it's Dick and Steve or whatever they're doing. You want to go out? Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden you realize that the guy that scooped up your guacamole you thought was going to kick your ass and make you play for your life is a fucking rock star from the 70s.
Who knew they were out scouting?
Legends, dude. Yeah, yeah, man.
Amazing, man. It's so cool. I love it, man. What a cool life story, man. And I know there's a lot more. We'd love to have you back, man.
Yeah, definitely, you know? For sure.
Thank you so much. I can't wait. I would love that.
Cool. Ooh. Awesome, man. Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's what's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Jeff, man, thank you. That was what a wild ride. And starting off with such a wild story. And
starting off with a boom, man.
Wow, man.
Literally, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a double boom.
Yeah.
Just finding out that his wife was, you know, cheating on him and the house getting, you know, hit by lightning and just
Yeah.
Burnt and just
wild.
It's just crazy, dude. That what I mean, that's just
yeah, you can't make that up. That's yeah, that's
the
like
chances of that yeah, are yeah. amazing.
Yeah, we've seen some destruction when it comes to lightning, but I don't know that I've ever known anybody that has had their house hit.
Well, you know, one of the girls that we went to high school with, who went to our church, she lived out in the country, and she was driving home one time, I don't know, evening or something, but lightning hit her car.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't remember
because,
that
because she was in her car, it just went straight down into the ground because wow. she grabbed the tires.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Oh, dude, that would have been crazy, man. I can't imagine that. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine just seeing your house just exploding. That would have been so wild. And then of course we go to Hawaii, and what unfolded there was just amazing. That was not where I thought the story was going. I thought the story was going to go in a place that ended up in not a good place.
Yeah.
And you know,
so many times.
Yeah.
And I had no idea where it was going, you know. Yeah. It's 'cause so many times it ended up landing in, you know, just I nowhere near what I would have thought. And then you know, just the first of all, you know, getting dumped and left.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, man.
I would be
in a place that they don't clearly want you there, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And well, before he even got to there, man, you know, just getting dumped and left out in the whole countryside of Hawaii.
Yeah.
With hardly anything on you.
Right.
And you know, all of a sudden monsoon, or it wasn't monsoon season, but when it rains out there, it pours and it rains in sheets, and just having that set upon you,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's that alone sucks.
Yeah, and you've got some, you got some sparse directions to go to some place, you know.
Then you finally get to your destination. Or well, not a, to a destination.
Yeah,
and then you know, it looks like you're you know going to get attacked, beat down by some burly dudes, who, you know, end up being famous rock stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's wild.
Of the 70s.
It's so crazy. What, man? That you know, kudos to him for embracing the weird and just going with it. I mean, we see that so much with people that come on and. And they, you know, that's a reminder to me to sort of, you know, embrace these challenges, and because you never know where they're going to lead, and they build character, and they let you see a slice of life that maybe you would never see if you weren't up to the challenge, and it's just great. We such a great conversation. We've had so many great conversations, but and I just keep every week I'm just like, man, it can't get much better than this. And it's like, yeah, it can get better and it can get weirder. And it's amazing, man. It's amazing. Thank you, Jeff, for coming on and sharing that with us, man.
Yes, we really appreciate it. So go and find his comedy. He's on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
And thank you, Weirdsville, for tuning in. This complete today's theme, complete and utterly different kind of show than last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you never know. You never know where we're going to go.
Yeah. And I love it. I love it every time, you know, because, I mean, we often go into, you know, when we go into interviews and go to and talk to people, we, you know, we barely know anything, if anything at all.
Yep.
So it's always fun to be surprised and just experience these stories with the people, with our guests. And it just makes it worth doing and being around and continuing to keep plugging away.
Yes.
Here we're almost into 6 years, Bear.
I know, it's amazing, man. It's so crazy. And I, where we started to where we are now, we've had so many different stories and we've never had a duplicate. It's just been one after the other, you know, totally, you know, just weird and fun and just, you know, they run the gamut. And, you know, we hit on topics that we touched before, but, you know, people just have such interesting stories in their lives and things. And just been a, just been so fun to be able to share that with people.
Yeah, so if you got the inkling to share your story, no matter how big or small, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole episode. It could be a 5-minute story. We'll talk for a, you know, we'll talk for a little bit at least about it. And of course, a 5-minute story can lean into a, you know, 45-50 minute conversation.
Yeah.
How we roll.
Yep.
So, you know, don't feel hesitant to get a hold of us. Don't feel, you know, like you're not, that you don't have anything to share, because you, everybody's got something to share. And yep. It just, you know, just goes to show you that, you know, your experiences are uniquely your own, and you know, somebody's going to find it entertaining, enlightening, educational, and quite possibly weird.
Quite possibly.
So get a hold of us, you know, through our socials. What's your weird story? WIWSPOD@gmail.com. You can, you know, try the old phone hotline, 513-909-9821. However it is you feel to approach us, you know, let's do something. Let's set it up. Let's communicate. Let's have fun. And let's keep the Weirdville vibing, men, you know, and keep it all in good company, keep our company growing bigger and larger and all-encompassing, and take over the world.
Because absolutely.
The whole world is weird, man.
Yeah, yeah. It is a weird world.
And we love hearing everybody's stories. So thanks again, Weirdsville. Thanks again, Jeff. Thanks you again, Barry, for, you know, taking time. I know that you are just dead tired, but
it's all good, man. I love doing this, so
yeah.
I'm thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for doing this, man. We enjoy it.
Yes, we do. All right, Weirdsville, join us again next week when we're going to have something all new, all different, but all the good. All weird. I don't know. It's always hard to say goodbye. You hang up first. That doesn't work on a podcast. Okay. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.